All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that our hearts are open and receptive to what you have for us, Lord, and that we purpose not to be a forgetful hearer, but a diligent doer of your word. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, I was, you can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking about something a few minutes ago. I was reminded one time I was on this missions trip, and, you know, because everybody's idea of church might be a little different, right?
Yeah.
The big thing is you want to have Jesus
yeah.
as the center of your church because it's about him. And, you know, sometimes we can get distracted with the different things. We could say, oh, this isn't the same as this, or that's not the same as that. But I remember one time in particular, I was overseas in like a different country, and we were walking to this church, and it was in the middle of us, like city blocks, and it was like a maze. I mean, everything was really narrow, and you had to jump over this sewer, jump over that sewer, and it, you know, people's houses just consisted of a brick, small brick room with a curtain. That was their house. That was like, there's no security. It's like, that's just what it is. So it's, and there's all kinds of smells that you're smelling, but you're on your way to church. And so you get into the church, and it's not much, it's just a smaller, bigger room. It's a bigger room, but people would just keep coming, and it was no AC. It was packed. And it got packed as it went by. And they were praying and they loved the Lord. And you know what's interesting is, you think about I was thinking about a building is a building and we can enjoy it and it's nice, but we didn't have a sound system there. There was no AC. It didn't smell clean. But, I mean, God was there.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes if we get our focus on him, right? Like, I don't even really think about who's here and who's not here. I know he's here. I want him here.
Yes.
Right? Because he can change things in your life.
Yes.
And he can give you insight on something that will change everything for you and like that quick.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You know that if you get one word from him, it can change you.
Yes.
Change your situation, change that problem, change whatever you need to be changed.
Yes.
So today I have this title. Oh, before I start, my wife says hello. Thank you for praying for her. And we do have, I mean, this is a bigger praise report than what I gave out last Wednesday.
Yay.
I ain't going to tell you today. You'll have to come back next week and hear it from her. All right, if you really want to know. Okay. All right, so the tidbit was, I don't have the picture, but if you were Wednesday Bible study, you saw it. So we actually saw our food truck that we purchased for in case there was a disaster or something of that nature in the Philippines. And we actually saw the food truck. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's state of the art. I mean, it's about as beautiful as you can get, and it's big. You know, it's not like, it's not a food truck that we would consider here, like a little portable ice cream truck or something that somebody has on the side of. This thing is big, it's beautiful, and it has a church logo on the side. It talks about rebuilding and reestablishing and renewing people's lives. And I do have a disclaimer. I said, what she told me, what I thought I heard was that, well, there was a disaster, a typhoon that actually hit. And so they sent this food truck out. And I said it fed 30,000 people the first time out. 30,000. She said, no, that's not good. It was 30,000 meals. Well, I'm like, I don't think one person ate 30,000 dinners. But it's actually reached even more people than that. Right? And what was interesting, too, is she was telling me the story of this pastor who came up to her and was just talking to her, yeah, well, this church sent this food truck, and they did this, and, you know, such a blessing because it saved lives. I mean, you can imagine if you were in Florida and something came and wiped out something.
Yeah.
That's one thing. You think, well, okay, I'm gonna have to eat Cheetos for a while or something to survive. But it's another thing if you absolutely have nothing and you're stuck up to, you know, your knees in water, there's no food, you can't create a fire or anything, and then this food truck, it's like a small semi looking thing. It comes and it feeds you and it keeps you alive and sustains you until the waters go down, until other food and other help and support can come. Well, this guy's talking, this is kind of an interesting story. He's talking to her, Pastor Suk, about that. He's saying, man, that's just a blessing. She's just listening. She's like, yeah, praise the Lord. And then the pastor of the church comes up and says, excuse me. And he goes, and now he's talking to Pastor Suk. And she's talking to this guy over here. So then this pastor comes up and says, excuse me. And he goes, I just wanted to thank you so much for that food truck. Right? It was funny because the guy she was talking to who was thanking her didn't know that she was the one responsible for giving the food truck. But she didn't go, yeah, that was me, people. That was our church. We're pretty, you know, pretty major. We're a big group and we do a lot of things. She didn't do that. And he was like, wait, that was you? You sent the food truck? And the really funny thing is she actually knows this person from a couple of decades ago. And now they're in the Philippines. I mean, it's just, you're going to hear more stories, but that's just one of them. So it's really amazing. So don't look at something small. I mean, you think everything starts small. And it grows. And so, you know, just we're rejoicing. We're thankful for the Lord for opportunities to serve and to give. And as we are faithful, He just keeps increasing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so today, the title is Life is a Test. This life is a test. And do you remember, I remember as a kid, I haven't seen it for a while, but back in the day, they used to come out, you're watching TV or something, or I'm watching Sunday morning cartoons or Saturday morning, actually, and this thing comes out and says, beep, this is a test by the emergency broadcast system, right? You're like, oh, not this thing. If this was actually a real event, you know, you would hear this or whatever. And so, okay, this is a test signal. Well, what I was thinking about is our lives, this life, is like a test in regards to our faithfulness to God. And Luke 16:10 says this, and this is our foundation scripture, but what I'm really excited about is I got some insight on something that I think is really going to help you. I mean,
good.
I was so excited,
that's great.
I almost came early. I was going to say, hey, Joe, hold on, Joe. All right, so Luke 16:10 says this, he that is faithful in which is least, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust or in least is unjust also in much. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards or those who manage that a man be found what? Faithful. So last week we discussed the importance of demonstrating faithfulness, not solely in large matters or areas, but in what others might consider in small or insignificant things. Right? And specifically, we talked last week about three things. We want to be faithful in what? Our speech. Mm-hmm. Faithful in secrets.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Means if someone tells you something and says, don't tell anyone, then don't tell anyone. And then faithful in service. Meaning if you're at your boss or your location, if somebody asks you to do something, just do what they ask you to do. And as you're faithful in that, the Lord will always give you more. An example would be, one of the ladies said, at my work, they asked me to do a task, like clean this up, or do something. So I did. But then I noticed there was something else that needed to be cleaned up, right? And then I thought about Sunday's message. No, they didn't tell me to clean that up, but it needs it. But I'm just going to ask if they want me to do that. And then when the person asked, their boss said, no, don't touch that. Just leave it alone. Someone's working on it. Well, you know how many times you've done something, trying to help somebody do something more than what they wanted? It didn't always work out, right? True?
Yeah.
And sometimes if the Lord asks us to do something, how great it would be if we just did what he said. Just do what he said. Don't have to do more. Don't add to it. Don't be creative and do it another way. Maybe there's a reason why they want that done that way. Plus, if it's theirs, isn't it okay that they can get it done the way they want it?
Yes.
Now, when you build a relationship and trust becomes established and you've been chosen or proven faithful in small tasks, they'll give you something bigger and say, do whatever you want, right? But until then, you know, just be faithful and do what they ask you. Like I've done, I mean, I've made mistakes in that area. Someone says, go buy me this at the store. Okay, and then I improved on it. They don't really need that. I got a better idea for them. It's like, no, just buy what we asked you to buy. Well, I had a better idea. Well, that's great, but you keep your better idea and just do what they ask you to do, right? So this is a sign of what? Faithfulness. And we looked at some of the definitions of faithfulness. A couple of them would be to be constant, to be loyal, devoted, true, reliable, trustworthy, steadfast, accurate, precise, exact, close, dependability, right? These are some of the words for faithfulness. So if you said, and I know as a believer, we all want to think we're what? Faithful. Because what's the opposite? Faithless. Not me. But do you realize you can be faithful in one area and not so faithful in another? Right? Yep. You know, we could be really good at managing something over here, but not so faithful at managing something over there. Mm-hmm. Amen? We can be great at mowing the front lawn and not mowing the back. Because nobody sees the back.
Right.
Not even you, because of all the shrubs and every grass and everything that's grown, right? Amen. But understanding being faithful in our lives, there's many compartments to that, right? Many areas. And so as we look to the Lord, he'll help us to develop and grow in that. Now, we're going to wrap up, I think, what I would say this series on faithfulness. So one thing that it talks to us about in Scripture is how long do we need to be faithful? How long? I mean, a year, 2 years, a month, a day. Scripture says this, Revelations 2:10, for none of these things which you suffer, you shall don't be moved. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried or tested, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So we are to be faithful until you die. So that's depressing. No, that's the reward part. You know, if you're taking a test and you don't finish the test, you fail. Like if I'm running a marathon, I only get rewarded if I what? Pass, if I complete it.
Yeah.
You don't say, well, nowadays it might be different. Nowadays they hand out all the, well, you tried it. Ribbons, and you tried real hard, and congratulations, you were really trying to make you feel good. You lower the bar so low, or you put the rim so low so everybody can dunk. Right? The hurdles used to be this high, now they're just like you can step over them without trying. So you feel good. But God doesn't lower the standard, he raises it. Amen?
Amen.
And that standard is Christ. So we see that we're supposed to be faithful unto death. Just keep going. Don't stop. Now, here's what I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited about a lot of things, but this is something I discovered from the Word I think is really going to help us about being faithful. And it says, well, here's what I said. I said, genuine faithfulness, it won't fade, or specifically, it won't faint. It won't faint. And I started looking at the word faint. You know, there's so many examples in the Bible where it says, don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't grow weary lest you faint in your mind. So we're going to look at some of these things. Because if we realize God doesn't want you to faint. And I was talking with Tony earlier. When my third child was born, I fainted. Well, before it was born, before she was born, I fainted when I heard the news. I fainted. I fell over. And my wife, I heard it. I was like, dizzy. I saw stars. I was like, she's like, you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. What did you just say? And I wasn't strong. You understand? I was what? Weak. I was weakened when I heard that news. It really bothered me for a little while. And then I got in trouble because I asked questions like, this is what I said. Who? When? How? You can ask her, it's a true story. But it was in my moment of weakness and fainting that I asked those questions. She's like, what do you mean, who, when, how? I said, from now on, you will be called Mary. She's like, stop it. I'm like, I'm not ready for this thing. I am not ready. I can see faint coming down my way here. This is more than I want. So Luke 18 says this. He spoke a parable to them that men and women, people, ought always to pray and not faint. That means one of the translations for that faint, you could say quit, lose heart, cave in, or give up. In any case, it says that as being faithful, what's the definition of faithful? One who perseveres, is consistent, right? Is dedicated, is committed, accurate, precise. Here he says you should always be praying or have an attitude of prayer, maintain an attitude of prayer, and don't faint. Which means if he told you don't do something, it means you could faint. Or you could, not just like I did, literally maybe faint, but you could quit, you could give up, you could cave in, you could say, what's the use? It'll never work. Oh, poor me. And yet the scripture says you should be praying and not fainting and not quitting. And he said, well, prayer ain't working. How do you know? Are you just going by what you see? Maybe you are. But by faith, our faith, we're not moved by what we see. So interestingly, I found this verse as a measuring stick of friends who are faithful or just maybe fainters. Do you have some people you know, they're either faithful, they're committed, dedicated, loyal, right? Not just to the Lord, but to you as a good friend? Mm-hmm. Or are they fainters? They cave in, they quit. Remember the Bible even used the word that some people have fake faith or feigned faith, mm-hmm. which is it faints, it wilts under pressure where there's a problem. Right? And here he says, don't be like that, which means what? I could be like that. But we're not supposed to be like that. Just because, you know, there's all kinds of things you see going on in the earth. You're not supposed to get fearful and faint mm-hmm. over those things.
Right.
You're not. Someone says, well, it's scary. Well, that's because you're looking at the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You shouldn't be looking at that. You should be looking to Him. So, if our faith, we're supposed to be faithful, not faintful. Not full of quitting or doubting or despair. And so here's some scriptures. Here's some things to look at. I got four things that will help us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hmm. So what if you faint? Then do you reap? No.
No.
Well, don't tell me that. That's not good news. Mm-hmm. I want something happy. Well, it is happy. Because it says if you don't faint, you will what? Reap. So if you faint, then you don't reap. So all you got to do is what? Not faint. And if you know fainting has to do with quitting, caving in, giving up, being despondent. You ever like doing something, go, oh, what's the use?
Yeah.
What's the use? Mm. Don't do that. Why? Because you're training this life is just a test for the next. Right? And we've talked about this. Your faithfulness here determines your position, what? There.
Yeah.
how bright you shine. Amen? So be sure not to get weary and sad when you serve the Lord. You know, some people go, I feel like I want to be used by God, and then the next statement is what? They're just using me in the church. It's not right. I feel like they're just using me. Is that the thing you prayed for? Well, yeah, but not in that way. I want to be used my way. Like, I want to do what I want to do. That's how they're supposed to use me. You're going to faint. And if you faint, you won't reap. So when you're serving the Lord, don't get weary. Don't get weary, you know, reading your Bible. I tell you what, you just read your Bible at night, you'll fall asleep. You know, the devil gets you in a headlock, kind of gets you some knuckles to the head, and you get drowsy all of a sudden. But I can't sleep. It's like, I'll pick on my daughters because they're not in here. But they're like, I go practice piano, 15 minutes. Oh, man, are we done yet? It's been 2 minutes. 2 minutes. She goes, that's a long time. I'll go, okay. You giving me a hard time about this? I ain't going to faint. I'm not going to cave into you. You watch. So when their 15 minutes is over, they go, can we do this? Can we play? Okay, go ahead. 2 minutes. Oh, time's up. Why? I go, it's been 2 minutes. That's nothing. Yes, it's a long time. It's the same amount of time when you were playing the piano. That was a long time. Now you're watching Barbie movie on TV. 2 minutes is a long time. Can we go somewhere? Yes, for 2 minutes. That's not a long time. Yes, it is. When we play the piano, it's a long time. You understand, right?
Yeah.
What happens? They get weary in doing good. You know, it's nothing to do bad. You don't get weary. Your flesh likes it. It's easy. Amen.
Amen.
Right? I mean, you can't make somebody, my other older daughter, Katie, whenever she goes, my throat's sore, I go, I got a solution for you, girl. Where's the apple cider vinegar? Let's do it. Put a little honey in there. She goes, she's gagging before she even tries it. I said, all you got to do to feel better, just drink this right away. Because it kills the bacteria. Just all you got to do. A day will go by. It's sitting in the cup. I add a little bit more when she's not looking. Right? Make it a little bit stronger. She's like, oh, it's just so painful. I said, no, what's painful is not doing it. What's painful is you're sneaking all your other junk food. It's going to hurt you. That's more painful. This is 5-10 seconds. You just got to drink it. Be faithful in this little thing. Don't faint at it. Don't faint when it's time to read your scriptures. Right? Say, I got to do this because I don't want to faint. I don't want to grow weary in well-doing. Because God's word will, what? Give me life. I need to be faithful in what he's called me to do. So, faithfulness. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't get depressed. When you get dejected and depressed, that just tells me, I won't say you, but when I'm tempted to be depressed or dejected, that tells me the fainting spell might be coming close. That's a sign that I'm getting weak.
Yeah.
Amen? See, it's not like, you know, sometimes I think we imagine we don't know anything. I just don't understand. Yes, you do. You know when you're not where you should be. I know where I'm not where I should be. I know when I'm spiritually stronger than at other times. You can't say, I just didn't understand. I'm just so weak. No. Time out. You know better, right? You know, you can trick yourself, but you can't trick the Lord. He knows. You say, I was just too sad to read my Bible. Maybe that's why you're so sad. You understand. But he tells you, don't be that. Don't faint. Okay, second thing. Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says this, for consider him that endures obstacles or such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and what? Faint in your mind or in your soul. So here is another example when you're going through something, you're supposed to consider him who was faithful. Otherwise, it said you could grow weary and faint or give up, quit, cave in your soul or in your mind. So when we're going through a situation or a circumstance or a trial or whatever, he said we are to consider him. Don't consider the situation or the circumstance or the trial. Consider him. Amen? So he says, don't, like, for example, Jesus was faithful. And he wasn't faithful, he was faithful to keep on his mind the plan, purpose, and pursuit of the Father. He was looking at God's plan, God's purpose for his life, and how am I going to pursue that? He was faithful to think about that. He didn't faint at the obstacles and the things that were coming against him. He didn't consider those things. So when you're challenged with something, what do you need to do? You need to be just like him. You need to consider him. Consider his plan and his purpose for your life. And his promises. You know, you really can't be, when we use the word faint, you can't be thinking about giving up and quitting if you've really been thinking on his promises. Right?
That's right.
Unless you can think about it, but then you don't believe it. That's when you get sad. That's when you get dejected. That's when the enemy tries to use that to depress you and to get you weary so you faint in your mind, right? So I said, you want to be faithful to ponder his promise, not wander in the world, right? Don't wander, ponder. Think about his promises. Don't wander, let your mind wander about what if this and what if that, because that's not going to help you. That'll make you weary, right? If you want to be, you know, if you want to be productive and you want to receive his promise, then you got to ponder on his word. If you want to become weary, then you can go wander and do your own thing. Why wander when you can ponder, right? I should have a t-shirt, right? Let me get a t-shirt. But consider, it says, consider him. Think about him. So what? You can be faithful. You don't want to be faintful. When you start thinking about giving up and quitting, you're becoming faint. And you won't get the promise, you won't reap, because you're weak. I'm weak. If I'm starting to, oh, I just don't know if God loves me, if he's going to bring me through, if he can. You know, so this past week, I get phone calls sometimes. I'm like, I don't know this number. Should I answer it?
Yeah.
It's the church phone. I guess I gotta answer it. But I was talking with someone, and they're telling me they're going through this. Nobody in here. So, nobody in here. They actually don't even come here. But I was like, well, why am I getting the call? But I'll help. And they're like, well, I serve God, and I got this problem, and this is what happened. But I've served God. And it's like, well, you serving God doesn't excuse you from any problem you might face. And it doesn't mean he's not faithful to bring you through it. You're like, but this is hard. Well, I understand it's hard. But how are you going to get through it? You can't faint. I mean, you could faint. But you don't want to faint because you want to come through it. So you got to trust in him to bring you through it. Make sense?
Right, yeah.
If you keep thinking on the problem, then You're letting your mind wander, and it's not pondering on his promises. It's wandering in worldlessness, right? Mm-hmm. So keep your mind on him. So if we keep our mind on him, on his plan and his purpose, and we pursue that, then we won't faint. See, if I'm going to faint, it's because I'm getting weak, I'm getting dejected, I'm getting depressed, I'm caving in, I'm quitting. But if you're faithful, you don't do that. Faithful until what? Until the end.
Yes.
Until it comes to pass, and you don't give up, you don't quit, you keep believing. I mean, if you are a believer, what do?
Believe.
You're supposed to believe the word. If I'm a deceiver, what do? I deceive. That's what I am. If I'm a believer, then I believe. Make sense? So I don't, it doesn't, I mean, I know we're all challenged with things, but if you say, well, I have to believe the word, then believe, because that's what you are. You're a believer. You have the capability to believe. So the enemy's always trying to get you, he knows, in a sense, you are a believer, and he's trying to get you to believe in him. Because you're a believer, whether good or bad, you're a believer, and you're supposed to be not looking to faint, but to be faithful, not faintful, right? If he's putting pressure on you to quit, what should that just give you some resolve to what? Push forward. Because I ain't going to quit. I'm not going to faint. I can see the finish line right up ahead. Isn't that sad? You ever think about that? You're running this race, and you see people, they just like trying to make it to the finish line, and they just quit. I know they're hurting, but then you see the other guy who's crawling to the finish line. Because it's dark, everyone's gone home, and he's still crawling, right? He's like, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
You want to be that person that determines, I'm going to make it. Because
yeah.
Yes. He's helping me. Yes. He told me. Again, he said, don't faint. All right, third area. A little bit further on, 12:5. It says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, that God's trying to exhort you. He says, my son, my daughter, my child, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't faint, become despondent, weak, and lose heart when you are corrected or rebuked or disciplined or instructed by him. So what did he tell you not to do? Don't faint. When he corrects you, you know, I told my daughter something, go do this. You need to do this. You gotta get it done right. She went like this. Like, well, stop, time out. You know what? We recognize that. But when God tells you something, you get despondent. Like, I'm trying everything, God. I can't believe. There's somebody else you can talk to? Why me? Right? Why do I got to do it? Are we despising or treating light his correction? And why is he trying to correct us? Because he wants to do more for us. You know, why would I correct my child? You're doing that wrong? Let me show you how to do it right. Oh, everything I do is wrong. I can't do anything right. No, I didn't say that. I'm trying to correct you so that you can get it done right, so you'll be happy with the result. You know, sometimes when we fail in life, it's a good thing. Why? Because we learned that that's not the way you do that.
Right.
That's all.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Like, I was in a spelling bee when I was a kid. I was a super speller. I remember the word I got wrong. Actually, I didn't get it wrong. They gave me a word, and I spelled a similar word. And here's what happened. They gave me the word contradiction. I know how to spell it. And I spelled contradicting. They're sorry, you're wrong. I was like fourth grade, you know, a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah.
Got hot. Then all the other kids, oh, he got it wrong. Stupid kid. Oh, it's painful. Okay. But I got it wrong then because I didn't follow the instructions. But that doesn't mean, I mean, up until this day, I still remember it. Why? Because, okay, I didn't get it right, but I remembered my mistake. So when the Lord tries to correct us or help us do something, we shouldn't get mad at him if he's trying to get you to a place to where it's going to work out better for you. But you and I, we all know people. When you just try to help them, what do they say? I mean, don't include the swear words, but they just say things like, I know what I'm doing. You're like, you don't know what you're doing. Right? You don't know. Well, don't tell me. Okay, I won't tell you. But it doesn't mean anything's going to change. Right? I mean, you know people like that. Hope nobody in here. Mm-hmm. We're all free and redeemed from that, right? But if you need to be corrected, if someone's in the Lord, he's not hard on you when he corrects you. He doesn't call you any names or put you down. Why would you and I not want to receive what he says? Why would we faint at his correction? Why would we quit and give up? Say, oh, I tried, I'm trying. Because he knows, again, he knows what you're capable of. You know, you got to push yourself. And if you don't, he'll push you some. Because what? He knows what you're capable of. So he corrects you. Why? So you can bear what? Much fruit. So he gets glorified. So you get more reward.
Right.
But if we don't respond to that, then we're kind of in a bad place. So that's why he says here, he says, don't despise or don't faint. Don't get weak. Don't lose heart when the Lord corrects you. Don't harden your neck. You know, I have to watch. You know, sometimes when people get mad, they bite their lip. But no, wait, I'm listening. Harden their neck. Bible says don't do that stuff, right? Especially when it's from the Lord or someone else is trying to help you. Amen? People who care about you. All right. Enough on that one. All right. Here, last one. Verse 4. Now there's more. These are just four. I'm sure there's more. But here's just, these are just four things. First, 2 Timothy 4:7. Here's what he says. We want to be faithful to finish the course. And then 2 Timothy said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, it takes faithfulness to keep the faith. You remember the definition of faithfulness? It's to be accurate, to be persistent, to be committed, to be diligent, all these types of things. And Paul says, I fought the good fight. I fought it. I didn't avoid it. I fought it. I finished my race. I ran it. Now, did Paul have any obstacles?
Yes.
Do you have any challenges or opportunities to become faint?
Yes.
Sure he did. You know, wherever you go, people are trying to run you off the road with their chariot, throwing rocks at you, following you, spending their own money, chasing you down. Come on, give me a break, guys. We're going to exterminate him. Spread lies about you. This is before the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's going from town to town preaching. He gets thrown in jail. I'm innocent. Sure, we all are innocent here in prison, right? All these things he went through, he had opportunities, many of them, to become faint or to quit or to give up or to leave early. And yet he said, no, I'm going to finish it out. What God started in me, I'm going to believe him to complete and to finish. But you couldn't be weak doing that. You know, even history says that when Paul was beaten so many times, he ended up being like a hunchback because of all the stripes, you know, physical impairments that he incurred. But that didn't stop him. You know, he's in a prison and then 1 hour a day they drop a candle down. A light. He couldn't take out his cell phone and text people and encourage them. 1 hour a day, here's your light. You know, we talked about this, especially in Philippi. The prison was a sewer. I mean, his sewage is up to his waist, dead bodies floating by, rats on those bodies, and he's chained. I don't know about you, but if I was chained and some rat was on my arm or crawling across my head, you're trying to get it off. Just quit nibbling on me. You know what I'm saying? That's going to play some emotion on you.
That's right.
And yet Paul made it through all that. And nobody visited him but a couple people. And all those churches he helped establish. All the things he did for them, pray for them day and night. All that stuff. Nobody visited him. They're all ashamed of him. Oh, he's in prison. He's a bad guy. I don't want to be associated with him. He must have done something secretly wrong. I mean, think about that. All your homies you helped out, none of them come. And he's in prison. But yet, he determined what? I'm going to finish.
Yes.
I'm not going to faint.
Amen.
Right? I'm going to be faithful until the end. I'm going to finish my course. So here's two more scriptures. Now this is what I thought was so amazing. This was all great. I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed it. But look what we got. Matthew 9. And we'll look at verses 35. Matthew 9. And we'll start with verse 35 to 37. So, Matthew 9. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. They were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Right? In King James, I think it said that he was concerned lest they would what? Faint. Because they were, he had compassion on them, lest they had fainted or become weak or become confused and helpless. He didn't want them to what? Faint. Well, if I read the King James, it says faint, right? And he had compassion on them, or he had love towards them. Now, what's interesting is Matthew 15, 32 says this. You remember this story, Matthew 15, you can turn there. You remember this scripture because it has to do, he's preaching to these multitudes, right? He's preaching to these multitudes, and it's at the end of the sermon, and Jesus says what? The disciples say, okay, send him away. He says, I can't send him away because they've been following me this many days. And I'm concerned lest they what? Faint, because they have had no food. They've been fasting, they have no food. And I don't want them to what? Faint. So then what did he do? Then he asked for the disciple. He asked about the bread. Anybody have any fish or bread? Do you remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Where he fed the bread to the multitude. Why did he feed him the bread? So they wouldn't faint. Now think about this. He is the bread of life.
He is.
And as you partake of him daily, you will not faint.
Amen.
Amen? He was so concerned about them fainting, he said, we can't leave the people like this because they're not, we can't get them faint. No way. We got to feed them. And then the religious disciples say, how can we do that? He said, basically, he multiplied the bread, right? He broke it, which is symbolic of him breaking what? Himself.
Yeah.
And then he fed the people. You and I, we are his people. He does not want you to faint. He doesn't want you to quit or to give up or to cave in. No, he's a faithful high priest, right? He's faithful. And so if he's faithful to you, he's going to do all he can do in his power to make sure you don't faint. Your job is to keep eating or dining or partaking of the living bread, which is him, which is his word. Because it's not his will nor his desire that you faint. If it wasn't his will that the crowds or the multitudes faint, it's definitely not his will that you faint. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
That's why I get excited, because I said, wait. Yes. And there's so much more in scripture where it's talking about don't faint. And he gave himself that bread. Why? So people don't faint. And he is that living bread.
Amen.
So when you're getting weak, what do you need?
Jesus.
Yeah, don't go to HEB and go, oh, I'm going to go to the select organic bread. No, he is the bread of life.
Amen.
Remember, he said, I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
So when life is, you're getting weak, you think, I'm tempted to faint or get despondent or depressed, go to the bread of life, the faithful bread, which is, he is the faithfulness, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the faithful one.
Yes.
And you start partaking with him and pondering his promises, it will encourage you and inspire you, and it will quicken you, it will strengthen you. And this is the very thing that you need so you can what? Continue on your road, mm-hmm. so you can be faithful to finish and do all that he called you to do.
Yeah.
But he is not in the mood for you fainting or getting weak. You know, nowhere in scripture did it ever tell you to be weak.
Yeah.
And he tells you many times, don't faint.
Sure.
You're gonna, if you get weary, you could faint. So don't get weary. Don't get weak. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be like that. All right. So, in conclusion, I don't want some of you to faint because you think this is long. This ain't long. It's not what you're talking about. You know what's long? I'll tell you what's long. Is you're in a service, like, you know, say, sometimes overseas, it's like 3 hours outside in the sun. You're hot. Oh, man, this is long. 3 hours. I'm getting sunburned. It's so long. Amen. All right. Conclusion. And then I think we'll do something special. As we purposefully and intentionally keep our eyes on the Lord, we too, will make it all the way to the end because we will remain faithful as we feed on the bread of life and not faint no matter what the enemy throws at you. Whatever he throws your way, you're determining, I ain't going to faint. I ain't going to give up. You know, he tells you, he told the disciples, he told the crowds, don't faint. Don't get weary. I'm not going to send them out in a weak way so where they could faint. So he had worked a miracle to make sure that they were strengthened. Well, God can work a miracle for you to strengthen what? You. Yeah. Amen? So here's what I want to do. In closing, I realized something. It took me a lot of years to realize something. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
I learned... pretty amazing. Actually, so simple, but it's so simple, but I never really saw it. If I was reading in Mark 4 one day, where it talks about the sower sows the word, right? Mm-hmm. And some seed fell on wayside, and then some fell in, you know, shallow soil, and some on stony ground, you know, all that. Okay. And I always think, I'm probably one of those third or fourth groups, because my soil is deep, it's rich, it's abundant, right? And then I discovered something. I think you can't just automatically assume you're one of those four. Because as a sower sows the word, you listening to the word all the time. And sometimes, you know, if you're preaching or if somebody, hey, what did you preach about yesterday? You go, oh, it was good. What was it? I don't remember, but it was good. Now, I'm not talking to you the listener. I'm talking about me, the speaker.
Yeah.
But if I asked you, the listener, the next day, what'd you learn at church? Oh, it was good. Life-changing, impactful, insightful, energetic, all those other words, you know, that describe something. But what was it? I don't remember. And it dawned on me. That not remembering is just like the first soil. When you hear something, you don't act on it. Can't act on something you don't even remember, right? If you don't remember, how can you act on it? You can't. So you hear something at church. Oh, that was good. I'm gonna work on that. But you never actually work on it. And the enemy comes and steals it. You don't even know it's gone because you don't remember it. Because what? You didn't act on it. So then I realize when we hear the word on Sunday, we better do something with it by Monday. Because Tuesday is going to be too late. Because it says immediately the enemy comes. Immediately means what? Like now. So when I'm looking at this, here's what I want us to do. If you want. If you say, Lord, I want to be faithful, not faintful. Mm-hmm. If you've been challenged, when I say an altar call, I'm not asking you to come up here. And it's not about being embarrassed or anything like that. But there is something about acknowledging something publicly, right? And if you say, Lord, I've been thinking about giving up more than I should have been thinking about giving up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like kind of getting out, trying to get a foothold on me to get me to faint or to quit or to cave in or let go of something that I've been believing for a long time. Then I'd like you and me, I'll just say a general prayer, but I'd like us to pray about that. And if you want someone to pray with you or agree with you, that's okay, because once you respond to receive that word, then it can take root in your heart. But if we just talk about it, like I have friends that gave an altar call to accept Jesus, I'll do it later. Not right then, but I'll do it later. And what happens? How many years later go by and they've never done it? And it dawned on me, it's the same thing. When you hear something, you think, Lord, yeah, that's me. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that. That's just like saying you did. I'm going to do it. It's the same as saying it's not done. Right?
Yes.
It's on my list of things to do. That means it's not on the list of things that are done. I like the done list better than the to-do list, right?
Yes.
So I just want us, you know, just for you, be committed to the Lord and to be, say, Lord, in this area, because you know your heart, right? But you need to take action with Him and to commit something to Him, right?
Yes.
In this area. So I'll say, I want us to pray, and I'll just say a general prayer, but in your heart, if you think, Lord, I haven't been as faithful in that area, I've been more faithful. I've been thinking more about giving up because I think it's been taking so long, or I just thought it's never going to work, or I'm going to cave in and quit, or I quit praying, and the Bible says don't do that. Whatever it is, you make that adjustment in your heart. Don't leave without making that adjustment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if you plant that, if you get that word in your heart by taking action, then it can grow. But if you just think, oh, that's a good message, put it on the side, then it never got in the heart because you can't even remember it. Right? You don't even remember it. You can't act on something. You and I would be, what, a forgetful hearer. We can't even remember it. You can't do something you don't even remember to do. Especially when it comes to God's Word. Right? If you put your little reminder up, then put your reminder up. But I want us, we'll have an altar call. And so here's what we'll do on our altar call. If that's you, all I want you to do, I don't care, it's not ceremonious or anything like that, but if you think, Lord, in this area, or if He's dealing with you, but I was thinking about fainting, I almost fainted because I was weak. If that's you, and if someone says, well, I wouldn't say I'm weak, but if you're weak, then you're weak, right? If you're strong, it says, let the weak say you're strong.
Yeah.
So if you were weak, there's nothing wrong with being weak because the Bible didn't say it was a sin for you to be weak. It said, let the weak say I'm strong. But if you won't admit you're weak, then you can't say you're strong.
Sure.
Right? But if you're thinking about quitting or giving up, even if it's, and it's, I don't care what area you're thinking about it, I want you to come forward. You don't have to tell anybody what it is. It's just between you and the Lord. And I'll just say a general prayer, and then you can say, between you and the Lord, make that adjustment in your heart, whatever it might be, okay? I don't even want you to close your eyes. You can if you want. You don't have to. I mean, don't close your eyes when you walk up. But if you've been thinking about fainting over something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay, and maybe nobody in here. Maybe it's nobody. But if it's you, you think, no, I need to make that adjustment. I want to respond to that altar call. And it's nobody else's business, right? What area it is. Then just come on up so we can say a simple prayer. Anybody? Just come up. Okay, so just between you and the Lord. Right? You know, I can be up here too. I'm not excluding myself because there's things in my life that I could look at and go, man, and then I don't know if I want to mess with that. Meaning, I don't know if I want to keep pursuing something the Lord told me. It's hard. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And yet, at the same time, He hasn't given me the release to stop. Right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm just going to say a general prayer. You can say this after me, but at the same time, I want you to just make that adjustment in your heart. And you can recognize today, October 28th, I quit being on the faint list. I won't faint. I'll be faithful, not faithful. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Say this. Well, I'm going to say this prayer. You can repeat it or just whatever in your heart is fine. Say it on my behalf. Lord, we ask you to help us.
Lord,
to remain faithful to your plan,
to remain faithful to your plan,
and your purpose for our lives.
Your purpose for our lives.
Forgive us for the times when we fainted.
Forgive us for the times that we fainted.
And got our eyes off of you.
Got our eyes off of you.
And on something or someone else.
And on something or someone else.
Thank you for helping us resolve.
Thank you for helping us resolve.
To be faithful to look to you.
To be faithful to look to you.
To make firm and strong our conviction.
To make firm and strong our conviction.
to follow you faithfully unto the end. Amen. Unto the end means whatever that thing is. You know, maybe you believe it for something, unto the end. Not just unto the end of your life, but unto the end till you receive the manifestation of the thing that you're believing for. So we won't quit. We won't be weak. We won't faint. Amen? All right, go back to your seats. Good job. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Go ahead and get ready to take up our tithes and offering.